Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. And our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is. My goodness, it's Friday. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up. And I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's also the fifth day of May, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in star 6 to mute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me. It's currently 60 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson. And we're looking for a high of 60 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And when I came up here, I mean, the sun's shining around a little bit and it's coming through the clouds. We got a little cool spell coming in that won't go out until Tuesday, but it ain't that cool. Ain't nothing like we've been through. That being said, let's see what we have on the itinerary. Well, we're going to open up. We just put a video up. It was of the intelligence report this morning. Mark Kornke says he believes that the Trump administration is trying to murder the Bundy brothers in prison there in Las Vegas. And it's shaping up to look that way. And Mark confronted Maggie Rose, who tried, you know, to downplay the situation, act like the gov's got it all taken care of. And it's a really good, I mean, take the time to listen to it all the way through. Because they talk about some other things in there, too. At any rate, we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on there in Las Vegas and get the show rolling with that. And we'll do that as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then. Earlier this week, you know, we found out through Ryan Bundy's wife that they had been implementing some torture techniques on Ammon Bundy, no doubt in retaliation for the fact that, you know, their cases have been losing in the courts, and the people are waking up to exactly what this Fed fellow is all about, and the fact that he thinks that he owns the people and he owns all the property, and that, well, you're just a plebe, a slave, a coolie serving at his whim. And since this, I can't think of her name. Gosh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. She put this video out. And, you know, putting out the number, you know, telling what happened, you know, put in a, like, 2x8 cell, you know, scrunched down with the shackles on. I mean, we've all played the game. I mean, they're really shocked because, I mean, these are rich ranchers from Utah. And they, you know, what they don't know is this was going on a whole long time ago. It's been going on all along. And, you know, talked about, you know, the cuffs being sucked down around his wrists until, you know, he has no fear. I mean, man, I've had that done to me so many times. I've stood up blood running down both wrists. It's nothing uncommon. And the torture in the jail is nothing uncommon. But now they're making a move. And I think Mark might be just right on the target there, you know, setting them up to get them killed. Because you know, she put out the number, and evidently a lot of people responded to that number across the Patriot community. And so now they've said that they there's another video up. You can go look at that. But she says that they're taking away all the visits of all the prisoners inside the facility and for the weekend. And this is specifically designed to get somebody to kill them. And, you know, Mark talks about it on the video. Well, it's not a video. It's his program this morning. But he discusses, you know, the techniques used. And, you know, this is common knowledge if you've ever been around people that have been in prison and understand how things work. If, you know, if they want to kill you, they'll kill you. You know, we covered a story, I think it was this week or last week, about the guy who, you know, was put in the cell and they just let him die of thirst. And, boy, that was okay. There's no real problem there. Mark brought his wife up, Nancy, and advocating for the federal regulations for running jails and prisons, which is a hard thing to get from what she said. But, you know, I know that when Mark, it's been quite a while since Mark was in prison. And since that time, I've seen these police down there in San Francisco have a man cuffed, not a big man either, just some little street person just cuffed on the sidewalk, sliding on those plastic gloves and saying, I'm going to fuck you up. And they beat that man to death right there on video. And, you know, there's a James Boyd, you know, just coming up there. I'm going to feel like killing some homeless guy today. It'll be a fun. Come on, man. Let's go. And killed him. Killed him dead. We've seen all of the outrages, and we've seen that there has been no consequence for it. Now, within the mechanism for the business that they are running at that prison, I mean, this technique, it could show results. I mean, I'm saying do it. I'm saying call. I'll give you the number right now. But no threats. You know, just call up and say, we understand that you're conducting torture sessions in your prison there. And we want to let you know that we know what's going on there. And that's it. I mean, don't take it no further than that. And just say, we know what's going on there. And it's not going unnoticed. And just keep it at that for the present. That number is 775-751-4500. Again, that's 775-751-4500. And that's the Nevada Southern Detention Center there in Las Vegas. And I'll give that number one more time, 775-715-4500. And, I mean, evidently, you know, the people responded, and, you know, to the plea of Ryan Bundy's wife. Now, I'll make it clear, you know, I think these people are from a different world than me. These are the same people that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, sit on the juries where they listen to the judge say, we don't allow the Constitution in this court, and I'm wearing a dress, so I tell you to convict. It doesn't matter. You have to convict. That's your duty here. And I'll tell you, the people like these Bundys sitting on them goddamn trial and them juries, and they just, you know, man, they wanted to please that man in that dress so bad that they never even they didn't take the time to care. But the bottom line here is this is real. And these people, all their faults aside, they are American nationals, and their rights are my rights or your rights. The Bill of Rights is to protect us all. And when you're getting, you know, at least this episode of somebody being tortured in jail, in prison, which happens all the goddamn time, is out in the open, and it's a good thing to respond to, because we can't allow this kind of shit in our country. This is them seeing how far they can push it. the same as that it's, you know, out there for them to people to see what is occurring that they're doing. It's the same for them the other way, you know, trying to say if you dare buck our corporate aristocracy, this could happen to you. And so we have to let them know, yeah, we see what you're doing, buddy. And yeah, okay, if this is the way we're going to do this, man, this is what we've been waiting for, you son of a bitch. So at any rate, the back and forth on the Intel report this morning was very interesting. And the fact that Maggie Rose came up and tried to just play it down. And boy, don't say Jew, whatever you do, even though the goddamn Jews are the one running it. And that Trump is right. He's got his lips firmly attached to Netanyahu's asshole. And you know, as far as you know, it will be the Trump administration that's, you know, because like Mark pointed out today, nobody doesn't know who the Bundys is. And even Trump tweeted before the election, he knows who the Bundys are, but yet there they sit in that political prison. Hey, we're going to have the Constitution, you goddamn right, you phony charlatan son of a bitch. He knows who the Hammonds are. They're on double jeopardy, a direct violation of their rights as guaranteed under our Bill of Rights. And the Bundys, no, for all their faults and the ignorance I saw in how they conducted themselves, they committed no crime. And now it's getting to the point, well, they might just kill them people, you know, just to try to get the notion out to you that you should cow down and surrender to them. You got to let them know that, no. That's not all you're going to do is make me more determined to see you brought to justice, to see you face a true court of law and the consequences of your actions. That being said, I had to get that out of the way. Let's see what else we got going on here. Texas becomes the 11th state to call for a constitutional convention. This is from My Statesman, sent in by Paul for discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. And what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? Because it's for a real good reason. Let's see if we can find out what's wrong with it. The Texas House on Thursday joined the Senate in voting to call for an Article 5 convention of states, making Texas the 11th state of the 34 states needed to call a constitutional convention to rein in the power of the federal government. Sounds almost holy, doesn't it? But is that it? I mean, well, where is that power going to go? I mean, it's gonna cease. They're gonna remove the War Powers Act. They're gonna remove every infringement upon the Bill of Rights. Our common law courts are coming back so that we could actually prosecute, well, even people in the state that are violating our rights. Ooh, let's see what that, see how that equates. In the state address in January, Governor Greg Abbott made the call for a convention of states, one of four emergency items. On its passage, the governor tweeted, boom, Texas has now passed a convention of a state's resolution. Thank you, Texas House, for today's vote. Senate Joint Resolution 2, which passed on a 94-51 vote, doesn't require the governor's signature. Under the SJR 2, the convention Texas is seeking would be limited to considering amendments expressly for the limited purpose of proposing one or more amendments to the Constitution to impose fiscal restraints on the federal government, to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, and to limit the terms of office of federal officials and members of Congress. Now, what's missing from those demands? The fact that you don't even need a constitutional convention. All the state of Texas has to do, if they really gave a shit about freedom and liberty and weren't looking to grab the power themselves, is have a resolution saying the Bill of Rights is going to be enforced in our state. Absolute. End of story. Well, the federal government coming, well, we have ninth article, son of a bitch. I'm sorry. If it doesn't comply with the Bill of Rights, the ninth article says there is no such authority and we will not recognize it. But see this convention here. This is their fallback. I mean, like I've always said, where in the hell did the federal come from? Where did old federal come from? These fellows that make up old federal. Well, they come from the states. And before the states, they came from the counties. And before the counties, they came from the towns and municipalities. That's how it works. So we talk about this big old bad bastard over there that's destroying our lives and making us miserable. It came right from hometown USA. It's a corrupt system. And you have to go through the stages of corruption. You have to prove you're pretty goddamn corrupt to go from the municipality to the county. And goddamn, if you actually want to go from the county to the state, man, you're taking a step up. You're going to really be sucking off the people. You're going to be a real parasite. You better be the lowest son of a bitch you can be. And if by, man, if you made it to the States, it's kind of like, you know, the junior leagues and college football and baseball, and then you have the major leagues. Now you're talking to major leagues. Are you among the lowest of the low? Are you the parasite that parasites off of parasites? Are you the scum of the earth? If you are, then you too might be able to make it to the final level out there to be Mr. Fed yourself. And so what, you know, this whole thing's falling apart because the people are saying, God damn, F this shit. Yeah, I mean, what they're panicking about here is because the people, it's like this issue with Bundy. This is why it's so important that they, you know, quash this. It is about the ownership of the property here, our national property, our lands that belong to us and our private property, but our national properties. And see, what you got going here is the federal government's making a grab. Throwing their jurisdiction out there, they do not freaking have. And it never could have happened unless the states like Texas allowed the War Powers Act to remove the common law courts and the people's authority so that they could, you know, quash it. Hell, I don't care who you are. Donald Trump, well, you know what? You just got summoned to out of here to bumfuck Egypt, Oregon, and you're going into a little court out here in Oregon. Some son of a bitch trying to get you hung. That's how the common law works. And for, see, these states, they want to step up. And all that power that's been illegally accumulated at the top, they just want it for themselves. They want the power over the people. I mean, they went in this thing here, you know, talking about rain. No, if I mean, it's simple. And you guys that have looked at it and read your Bill of Rights, you know what I'm saying is absolutely true. If the state of Texas really wanted to go back to being within the law, all they have to do is just one, you know, even a proclamation from the governor. All laws that are in violation of the 9th article of the People's Bill of Rights are now null and void in the state of Texas. And what are they going to say? I mean, what would the Fed, I mean, you just ain't getting 34 states and doing all the buying and spit swapping and I'm going to have power here. You're going to have power here. No, this is just a simple resolution. We just turned it back over to the people. They got courts here. You want to come talk to them? They got guns too. That's how easy it would be, and that's why this is a frickin' sham. They want to get in there, and they want to twist it around, and you get an open convention. Hell, we know what the target is. Even a state, I don't care. You, Greg Abbott, you piece of slimy shit. I know what your target is, buddy. It's that Bill of Rights. Because the state can't rule me. And the Fed can't rule me as long as that Bill of Rights stands as the law of this land. And you know it. Under SJ2, the convention, okay, we did that, Office of Jurisdiction, okay. That, conforms with what, the 10 other states have, delegated in their calls for a convention, according to Tamara Colbert, spokeswoman for the Texas campaign. Abbott's interest in a convention of states. See, this ain't the people coming. It's the states. And did you know, you're not even a stakeholder in your own goddamn state, but they're doing it for you, for the people. Did I say jobs? Abbott's interest in the convention of states blossomed during the Obama administration, which as a state attorney general, he sued repeatedly on behalf of Texas for what he believed to be the actions that exceeded presidential authority and encroached on state prerogative. See, state. It's about the state. They want the state to have the power, and then you'll be dealing with everybody. Will have their own little tyranny to deal with in their own little states. Like, like I said, it's real simple, Greg Abbott, and this son of a bitch knows it too. He is one of the attorneys. He's a high goddamn mason, sure as I'm sitting here talking to you. They're trying to preserve their power over you. And that federal thing has gotten so big that the people are ready to revolt against. Well, yeah, it's just like when the original uprising in the United States in 1775 was hijacked. You know, it's going to happen. Well, we're going to be, and then it'll be the state of Texas. Greg Abbott, president of the state of Texas, of the sovereign country of Texas. And now you're his peon because when they surrender the sword over to his army, then it'll be straight over to another ruling class over you. This time, the sword needs to be surrendered to the people. And like I said, don't let these goddamn charlatans fool you in no small way. All you just think about it in your own mind. All they have to do is put a proclamation saying the ninth article forbids all this. We are going to get in line with the Bill of Rights and the common law. We are putting the courts back in Texas. We're putting the common law courts back in Texas. The people are taking back over. And if you want to come here in violation of their ninth article that we're standing on here, you just come on down and you're going to get arrested. And you're going to be taken, tried. And when you're found guilty, because you are guilty, you're going to goddamn hang. And I mean, if somebody really wanted to fix this shit, I mean, if there is ever any little tiniest bit of intent, and I promise you they know this as well as you and I know it, because this is what they've been burying for generations to try to get control over us, is that they can never have control over us. The Bill of Rights forbids it, and there's nothing can change the Bill of Rights. They can't amend it with one of their constitutional conventions. It's to amend the Constitution. The Bill of Rights is an amendment to the Constitution. You can't amend the Bill of Rights because it says in its body that you can't touch it, that you can't create any power. Under the ninth article says you cannot create any power to change it. How about that? So that's what's in the sights for these charlatans. And see, people flock to this shit because they're so fucking desperate. It's just like I'm going for Trump, you know. Well, that Trump thing didn't work. We're Texas, Greg Abbott, King Abbott. Well, I like King Abbott better than King Trump. Don't you?
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
What about the 10 added on amendments beyond the 13th?
Well, I mean, they could put anything.
All going void,
they could put any. I mean, they could put anything in that Constitution they want. They, with the power we gave them, they can make legislate. They can do everything upside down and backwards. But when they violate the ninth,
They already violated that the Bill of Rights by adding those things. They had no authority to do any of those.
You betcha. You see that
they gave themselves powers and things by doing that, using the Bill of Rights.
No, they didn't. Not using the Bill of Rights, they didn't.
Well, they think they did, but they want us to believe that. And I don't recognize it. But what's supposed to really control them is the Bill of Rights.
The ninth article to our Bill of Rights reads, and I quote: "The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people." That means when the document that they operate under that is their authority. There is nothing that can exist in it. They can say, under this we can violate your second article. No, you can't. Ninth article says you can't. You can't create a power. No power can exist in the Constitution that violates the Bill of Rights. That's the end of the story, period. The Bill of Rights is our common law. It is our maximums and our procedures. And you can't change none of it. It's a system of law. And they know it.
Right.
This is what's standing in their way right now. Because no matter what they've done, what they've put in place, how big a ball of spaghetti they've made, we throw it all off the table. You're violating the ninth article. You have, through the War Powers Act, you have removed the common law. You are in breach. Therefore, you are illegitimate. Therefore, you have no authority over us. And you never did anyway because the ninth article wouldn't allow it.
We're supposed to be able to pull the senators out of there. They're only supposed to serve 2 years.
well, it's all irrelevant because no matter what they do, I don't care what they do. If this law was enforced, if our Bill of Rights is enforced, no matter what they do, they can create nothing to touch our rights or touch us. They're apart from us. They can't even come in our courts. We can bring them in as individuals, as in their private status, as fellow Americans. But as agents of the state, they can't even come in our courts. They can't charge us. They can't do nothing to us. That's why it was built this way. Because the founders knew exactly what they were going to do. Hell, they wanted to rule. It was an aristocracy that wanted to rule. And they wanted us just to go from fighting for our freedom right down to their subjects. And now we're coming to the final stages of the game, man. To where you can't deny that your rights are violated every day. And then that ninth article, they claim that they have authority to violate your rights. The ninth article says they can't have no such authority. So that means, they have usurped an authority that we didn't grant. They're not working with the consent of the people. They are a rogue, illegal government. The Constitution is non-binding to us anymore. No more it's a failed contract. All that's left is the people and their Bill of Rights, just like they had at Lexington Concord when they pulled that first trigger. And now it's to settle it. I mean, the Constitution was to supposedly settle the issue of what this country was going to be. And the Bill of Rights was attached to make sure that the people got to live apart from any government that they put in place, a limited government to deal with foreign countries and to deal in coining money. And, you know, there was a few little things we told them, you gave them authority to do. And they have so exceeded that authority that you can't even recognize the documents for their intent anymore. Anyways.
I believe that's true. They had no authority to do all of these things, these other amendments. But they have. I believe this all got started like in the 1850s, and it really has nothing to do with the founding fathers at all.
Well, you do realize that the so-called founding fathers, that they didn't want the Bill of Rights, right?
Yeah, I understand that they were like kind of skirting the issue, and you know, because by the time I'm sure you had some people who got in there, there were Tories.
Check it out, brother. Now, okay, Now the people rose up at Lexington and Concord. There was no when the people rise up, they were who were they rising up against? Who were they rising up to against?
You bet.
Who were they? I mean, you tell me. Who were they rising up against?
Tyranny.
They were rising up against the King of England. And the King of England ran his colonies through his representatives, the king's men in the colonies. So these people like, I mean, all of these aristocrats that came out of the woodwork to form the Continental Convention were actually the people they rose up against because the king wasn't here. He hadn't brought his armies here. They were being oppressed by the colonial government, which was of the king working under the king's charter. So that when they rose up, they were rising up against these elitist son of a bitch and aristocrats that were operating under the king's charter, oppressing them and putting tyranny on them. And so with the fight starts. Now, 3 years later, they formed the Confederacy. They, you know, the next year in 1776, they come up with their declaration. The people had already been fighting for a frickin' year, killing and being killed. The people. So these aristocrats, they come up with the Declaration of Independence. It's us that's rising up. You know, the king's former men. Because they saw that this shit was going south on them and that they were going to be kicked out of this country. Everything that they gotten from the king, all their grants and shit were over. So they stepped up like they were the goddamn ones. And they formed a government in the middle of an uprising. You didn't have elections, my friend. You didn't have no authority to do it. No son of a bitch that was at that convention had no more authority than the guy standing in the field fighting because it was an open rebellion. But they just stepped up because they had the money and the wealth and go, yeah, we formed this new government. And then when they formed a Continental Army, remember? It was militias fighting. And they inducted all the militias into the Continental Army. So then when you got to the surrender of Cornwallis at Yorktown, when they brought that sword ashore, when Cornwallis's aide brought that sword ashore, he surrendered his charter over to George Washington, a new bureaucracy that had been created illegally in the middle of an uprising. And so right then and there, because they had the king's authority, they could declare a king, and they were gonna. If it hadn't have been for the anti-federalists, the people like Patrick Henry and Nathan Hale, the people who understood it, our people were very educated at that time. And so with the anti-federalist papers, they outlined this aristocracy that these son of a bitches were trying to set up using their new king's authority that was surrendered to them that belonged to the people because the people fought it. It was a hijacking.
You don't think George Washington turned that down?
What, you mean being king?
Mm-hmm.
Well, George Washington did turn that down, but you know why? Because if he hadn't had a goddamn rope around his neck right quick. Somebody to try to declare a king. These people were ready. That's why the Bill of Rights is there. They did not want it. They hated it vehemently. They always have. But they put it in there because the option was that our forefathers, our true founders, the people who fought for this country came to Philadelphia and hanged their asses. That's why. Anyway, stay right where you're at. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 08 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
That it needs. Gun control with my pistol means I hit the target and the clip feeds. My rights from the creator are a no conditions guarantee. No need to push the limit and find out why that's America's creed. I made that promise to the Constitution and what it means. I pledge and oath to allow for what my grandkid will dream. But if I don't have tomorrow, I know they'll find my Browning is clean. Don't come for my gun if you think that I ain't all that I've seen. I heard history from Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Piss off a grizzly bear that's sleeping. dumb down our kids. It's MK Ultra. AIDS and SIDS. Chemtrail clouds. GMO foods. You call that health care? Can't even say gun. It's your rights that I fight for. Together we will not have to run. Your house, your spouse, protect against wherever they're from. In short, I won't shoot you if you don't come for my gun. I'll hurt history, Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew sure. Don't piss off the grizzly bear that's sleeping.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, please go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1241 Pacific Time. And that was Thurman Osby with Don't Come For My Guns, Don't Come For My Rights. Another drawing from the trenches. Swifty Lomax and Jalapeno are sponsoring a drawing for From the Trenches World Report. Swifty Lomax is providing a beautiful belt buckle and bolo tie that his father handcrafted from petrified wood. Jalapeno is providing a pair of DCU mobile double 30-round magazine pouches for AR-15. The prizes will be drawn for in the order they were received, which is how they are listed. Every dollar donated equals one entry in the drawing. All those who have donated since the last drawing are automatically entered unless specifically asked not to be. The drawing will be held Friday, May 12, 2017 in the final segment of The Word from the Trenches. We extend our thanks to Swifty Lomax and Jalapeno for providing the prizes. All donations are needed and appreciated. Good luck to all those who step up and right back into what we are talking about. You know, what you got to understand and what the people, I mean, they were smarter than we were back then. When that aid came up and handed King George's sword to George Washington, he became king of this frickin' country, people, whether you realize it or not. He handed that over to the chief executive of that military authority. He handed that over to. He could have marched back to Washington and hung everybody right there and did whatever he wanted to do. His army is supposedly conquered. I mean, it was the fighting of all the people, you know, the militias in the mountains and all the fighting. George Washington really didn't win that many goddamn battles. But when they handed him that sword, he was king. And when they came back and they sat down, all these rich aristocrats, and how do we proceed? Well, you're the king, man. They already seen that they understood that was, you know, go ahead and try that and see what happens to you. Because everybody's still in the field. Everybody's still armed. I mean, the cannon, everything is distributed out there. They'll wipe our asses out. Well, what we're going to do for you people, this is a real good deal for you. We formed this illegal government in the middle of an uprising. Okay, now what we're going to do for you? You know, we welded that sword that Georgie was holding. We held it in the colonies for the king. We were the king's proxy in this colony. These colonies, the king's proxies in this colonies. We welded the king's power. And now we're going to say, well, the only way we're going to get away with this and still come out with owning everything and them being our slaves, we're going to have to bide our time. So what we're going to do, we're telling them, yeah, it's your power, but we're going to weld it for you. We've already formed a government. There's been no goddamn elections. I mean, this is so crazy, people. They declared the first president. Remember this. They declared it. And so if they had already taken the power. That gave them till the time of the Civil War, what they call the Civil War, the war to finally answer that question when the people came and said, you know, you try this shit, we will kill you. And then so they give them time to build a power base and get them an army in place. And then once they felt comfortable doing it, then they started shutting down the rights and saying, nah, that Bill of Rights shit ain't. We are the kings. We are the aristocracy in this country, and you're going to be beneath us just like you were in them goddamn colonies. And when the people from the South seen what was happening, they started writing their writs and exercising the law that they had put into place in the Bill of Rights. And that's when they were answered with brute force. And then you had that bloody ass war, man, where people killed you. And what did they do? What was that war really for? To free black people? No. It was to take that Bill of Rights. They couldn't do it outright. Because even the people in the North would have been, stupid as they were for following this, you know, this tyrant, they would have seen, God damn, he's taking the, no, you can't take the bill. We're just supposed to preserve the Union here. You're taking the people's Bill of Rights. You're taking the sword. You're taking the sword and calling yourself king. And that's exactly what Abraham Lincoln did. And so they put in the 14th Amendment, not just, you know, just to kind of put it, to ease in it, that thin edge of that thick wedge, put it in place, but just really don't enforce it. And just pretend that the people still have the Bill of Rights and we're not operating under an alternative system under coup, because that's what it would have had to be. Because even at the end of the Civil War, they were presumably what they told the people and what the people were made to, or tricked into thinking, is we're operating under the Constitution. Under the Constitution, we can propose amendments, and we're doing it here with this 14th Amendment thing, and we're proposing, well, of course, it was never ratified. And the bottom line is, under the Constitution, with the ninth article in place, they had no power to create the 14th Amendment. They had no power to create anything that touched the Bill of Rights, and they knew it. And so they created and put it in place, and they've spent the time from now until then until now plugging it in, moving more federal jurisdiction outside the lines that were drawn for federal jurisdiction, which was that 10-mile square that was Washington, D.C. Keep moving it out there. It's just like I'm bringing these goddamn MS-13 gang members to every community. Get it out here. Get it out. Spread it out. And then pretty soon, well, actually, we do own it all. And we do still have that military. See, they're pushing it to the max to when the issue is settled, they think they're going to have their buddies. Because what are you really talking about here? The crown heads of Europe. These people were aristocratic elites. The guy, Henderson that was on here, they're talking about the king's grants, like to people like William Penn. Well, if the people would have, that sword had been handed over to the people, all of those charters, I mean, William Penn couldn't own Pennsylvania. The whole thing was just handed over to the people. The people would own it all. And that's the illusion they put forth, even as they were saying, well, actually, under the international law with the crown heads of Europe, I'm really king, but God, I wouldn't dare announce it. They'd hang my ass. And so it's just been a sneaky, slimy, forward action from the dirty Masonic dirty church cabal, because they got in with the church leaders, because they in the colonies, that's how they controlled the people too, was through the churches and the Masonic lodges. That's where the privilege was, in the, you know, the deacons of the church, powerful men, over more powerful than the other people. Well, then that means there was an inequality of right, or it would have to be. And they brought that right through the end of the so-called Revolutionary War, right to the War of 1812. And that's when they went over to England. Because that wasn't settled with we the people. A handful of aristocrats went over to England and sat down and go, well, we're all going to be lords, and we're all going to be kings in our own rights, in our own kingdoms here, and we're going to keep all the charters. Because, you know, the thing to argue with William Penn is, your charter was under the king. If the king's charter was surrendered to me, then I take your charter. I just take it, because I want it in blood, in battle. It's mine. And it all was the people's. We won the goddamn war. A handful of aristocrats didn't kick the king of fucking England out of here. The people did. It was ours. And the whole agenda has been to defraud the people out of what they had right there in their hands. Because if you look at it realistically, if you listen to what they tell you, the people became free and sovereign that day. That means the people, there was no king's charters here. There couldn't be. But there was, because it was a lie. Because behind the scenes, they were going over and making deals on the international, what would be considered international courts, the Catholic Church, and the charters held there, and the charter, because it all comes down to these charters, people. Who owns the charter? Who it's like the patent. Who owns the patent on the land? Why can they tax you? Why can they tax the land you live on? It's because they have the patent. That's simple patent law. Only the person who holds the patent can make money off the land. And the person who holds the patent can absolutely make money off the land. So if somebody else holds a patent, you don't own the land. It's like I'm robbing out our resources. Well, that's the stuff under the ground. And we gave that all to my cousin, Izzy Blastenstein. And now Izzy's doing quite well. Ain't he lucky? No, it's theft. It's been theft from the get-go. And this time, the sword must be surrendered to the people.
to the lowliest private, to the drummer boy. That way everybody understands that there is no fucking king and that this is not about aristocrats, a handful of aristocrats that put their army together and put their army in the field and had the sword surrendered to them. Now they're the king. That's what they did. And anyways, we're in the death throes of it. I mean, we're towards the end of it here, people. I mean, it's coming to Fisher Cut Bait, period. Woman caught harboring 44 undocumented immigrants, some in shed, is sentenced to prison. Well, that sounds like a just deal to me, but what's unjust about the whole notion here? This is from Washington Post. Neighbors noticed the warning signs, vehicles dropping off large groups of people who would then nervously scurry into the San Diego home. When police officers arrived to investigate the property in November, the home's resident, Diane, remember November because it's kind of a point to be made. The home's resident, Diana Olivero, told them she had invited friends over to drink beer. But when they stepped inside the home, officers noticed no one was drinking. The beer cans were unopened and appeared to have just been pulled from the refrigerator. Instead, Olivero, 51, was running a drop, in quotation marks, house for undocumented immigrants. Federal authorities said on her property, police found 44 people, mostly from Mexico and two from Guatemala. Some said they had been locked in a small backyard shed with dozens of others without light or ventilation, according to a federal complaint. And you get the way this article slanting to what was the real crime here. There was no bathroom, so those in the shed were forced to use only a bucket, coming here as a violation of our law. Federal authorities charged her with harboring and concealing undocumented immigrants. Oh, it's a crime? On Thursday, a U.S. district judge sentenced Olivero to 3 years and 1 month in prison, according to the San Diego Union Tribune. Olivero is a Cuban living legally in the United States. After her arrest, Olivero told Border Patrol agents she had been involved in harboring the immigrants since 2014. She did at the request of a man, Juan, whom she met at a bar. Juan then told her that he'd be bringing some friends to her house and that he'd pick them up in the morning, according to the complaint. To pay her rent, she agreed to temporarily house the immigrants, she told authorities. On some previous occasions, she had been paid $50 for each person she kept in her home. Concealing immigrants was an act of desperation to make ends meet. Well, that excuses it. What I'm getting here is, how come these churches down there doing the same fucking thing aren't being, none of these guys, preachers are being charged? I mean, I'm all for this bitch being charged, this foreign bitch, thinks she can, accommodate an invasion into my country. Well, of course, she was just doing to make ends meet at $50 a head. But I mean, what about these churches? If it's illegal for an individual to do it, what's with these churches down there? Aren't they doing the same thing? Aren't they getting grants from the goddamn government to do the exact same thing? Or am I missing something here? Concealing immigrants was an act of desperation. Poor you. The father of four of her children, boy, you can imagine the money she was raking in, had died in 2011 in an accident that left her with an injured wrist made it hard for her to work. She also was raising her partner's two young children, whose mother had been deported. What's wrong with this picture? She worked odd jobs and relied financially on food stamps, recycling cans, and support from the oldest son. She's got, I mean, like I said, she's raking in the bucks, and God damn it, you people know, I mean, just come out and they try to justify this shit. Life became really difficult for me, Olivera wrote in a letter to the judge. The San Diego Union Tribune reported. The judge said the number of people, as well as the grim conditions they were kept in, made it an aggravated, you mean if you go over to the Catholic Church where they just bought a brand new building, where they had a tennis court and a jacuzzi and big screen TVs for them? Oh, that's where the crime came in, is they weren't treated well enough. I mean, you or I out on the lam, you know, the law was looking for us, man. We're living in ditches, you know, eating out of garbage cans. Well, that would be expected for a criminal on the lam, wouldn't it? But not these criminals, because these criminals are the recolonization force, and they've got to be treated better than this. And, I mean, if you're going to bring them in, you're going to take very goddamn good care of them. And I tell you right now, if this woman would have had some, you know, big luxurious place, I'm sure there's lots of them around there from the people who pay more money to come here, there would have been no mention of this. Witnesses told authorities, witnesses told authorities that on occasion there were so many people sleeping on Olivero's floor that it was a struggle to maneuver through the home. Olivero was heard telling various people coming to the house not to use the front door because she didn't want to draw too much attention and, quote, burn the house. Some of the undocumented immigrants, no, some of the illegal invaders. I love this. Undocumented. I mean, this is just more of the shit, people. This stops when you stop it. When you start to, when you hear this shit, it's just like, you know, Mark confronting, goddammit, what's her name? Almost had it. Confronting the woman on the program this morning, and like I confronted the bastard on the program a couple of weeks ago. When you hear this shit, when somebody tells you undocumented immigrant, you know, son of a bitch, that's a legal immigrant. That is an invader into my country, and don't you try to make it sound like it's anything acceptable, because I will not accept it. And when people finally get to this stage, then this shit will stop. When you stop tolerating it, that's when it will stop. Who were later placed into the custody of immigration authorities pending immigration proceedings said they agreed to pay $8,500. I ain't got $5,000. I'm an American national, can trace my roots back to the beginning of this country. And $8,500 to come up here, they must be going to figure on getting a whole lot more for their money, don't you think? That's what really burns my ass. You know, it's like the Chinese paying $80,000 so they can come over here and drop a kid so that they got a, you know, they get all, part of the country's theirs now because I dropped it on your soil. You think so? Wait till after this goddamn uprising is concluded. To be smuggled into the United States, at least one immigrant was an unaccompanied minor. One said he was not given any food or water while Olivero's shed. You poor, well, goddamn man, how can we make it up to you? How can we make your bad experience at invading our country and taking every fucking thing we got better for you, buddy? Olivero's attorney argued that on most occasions, no more than a handful of immigrants would stay at her home. But on November 5th, the situation spiraled out of control, the San Diego Union-Tribune reported. 5 to 7 waves of people came in, her attorney said. And we remember, this is back in November. What happened in November? Oh, that's right. Trumpy was elected. And so they were telling you about the swarms of them. But on the other side, there ain't nobody. Goddamn, their heart. You can't even find it. If you see anybody on the border, they're going the other way. Don't you know? More horse shit. We better start seeing this for what it is, people. That's all I can tell you. Emory University to pay 100% of financial need of students in country illegally. There's that goddamn word again. Illegal. I mean, goddamn, I got to find a way to be a criminal so I can survive in this fucking country, I believe. This is from College Fix. A program to be rolled out at Emory University this fall pledges to pay 100% of demonstrated financial need for undergraduate undocumented students with or without DACA who are admitted as first-year, first-degree first-degree seeking students, campus officials state online. The program called Need-Based Financial Aid Program for Undocumented Students, including Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, is detailed on the private university's website. Now, aren't they doing basically what the woman who just got 3 years in jail was doing? Aren't they knowingly harboring illegal immigrants? Or am I missing something here? But no, wait, that's a college, and they provide excellent. Hell, they're giving them everything. Oh, that's the difference. Oh, that's the difference. An undocumented student with or without DACA who are admitted as first-year, first-degree seeking undergraduate students who have graduated from U.S. high schools, which we paid for, and who, as they were here illegally, and who are determined by Emory to have financial need will be awarded Emory financial aid funds to assist them in meeting their demonstrated need. The website said, and fuck you, American nationals and your children. I mean, they gotta come down. I mean, this third wheel, you're never gonna bring them up to your level. You gotta come down to their level. Anyways, enough of this. This is the top of the hour, and we will be back on Monday for another broadcast of the Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, man, I mean, like I said, start shutting people down. I don't give a shit where you hear it. And if people, they're going to hate you anyway. You know that? They're going to hate your fucking guts anyway. So don't take any shit. Just tell them, I'm not going to listen to your fucking treason. You're a traitor. Someday you'll hang. That is the Word from the Trenches.
Man above, I have done all I can do.
Cookies!